Will Afghanistan become another Vietnam? A scholar and a historian, Jane Miller Chai, joins us in this hour to talk about it. Also, Cash for Clunkers, the Fallout Vern Motor will join us as well. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, coast to coast, and everywhere in between. There is some big buzz going on, and it has to do with the GOP. I'll tell you about it in a second. Also coming up on this show, Injustice for All, a woman calls 911 to report herself as a drunk driver. What was she thinking, and what will she get as a result? While a man who flipped off a judge gets sentenced to 6 months in the slammer. Mm-mm-mm. Hope you're enjoying the beginning of this week as we cruise into the first week through November. But the big buzz, as I said, has to do with elections and a little bit of a turnover. In fact, big governor wins in Virginia and New Jersey. And this is the thing. We've warned about this for a long, long time. You can feel that change with the independents. The independents who pushed Barack Obama to that big win in November of last year went big time for the Republicans on Tuesday in two key areas. Wow, how about this conservative Republican Bob McDonnell's victory in the Virginia governor's race was huge over the Democrat Creed Deeds and moderate Republican Chris Christie's ouster of New Jersey Governor John Corzine, who's just coming off of a weekend swing with Barack Obama, the Prez, going with him to North Jersey and South Jersey to try to pump up the voters, did not work. So a huge, huge victory, I would have to say, for the GOP after they were booted from power in the national elections, particularly in 2008, but then the 2 years before that as well. A couple of other things we'll mix in. Tuesday, Maine voted on whether to affirm a state law that would allow same-sex couples to get married. If supporters prevail, it would mark the first time that the electorate in any state endorsed gay marriage. So did you hear what I said? The first time anybody endorsed it. They're still counting, but it's looking pretty close. It's looking good that that's going to happen. Also, Mayor Bloomberg gets that third term. How ridiculous. Three terms mayor. Think that's too much? But he narrowly wins that. I mean, just by the slimmest of margins. So you have to think, like I said, there's no question in Washington and outside of Washington, a lot of the conversation is about the outcomes of Virginia and Jersey. What's going on with the electorate? What about the independents? Because in some of these polls, when the voters were coming out, of course, from voting, a lot of the people were independents. So a lot of the independents, particularly New Jersey, is such a Democratic, liberal kind of state that that is a huge win for the Republicans. Huge. Now, to be fair, a lot of people that did come out of the polls said that it wasn't all about Obama. So, but I think it's difficult to separate him from the outcomes because he devoted a big chunk of time trying to persuade voters to elect Deeds in Virginia and re-elect Corzine in New Jersey, and it completely fell flat. So I think voters' attitudes, like I said, especially with the group where they could go either way, has really changed things. And I think the Democratic national guys should be a little bit concerned with this in some of these moderate districts and some of these swing states, too, as well. What happens in 2010? Most governors, a third of the Senate, and all of the members in the House, all of them, are going to be on the ballot. So what's going to happen this time next year? It makes things really, really, really interesting, I think. And I mentioned Bloomberg, too, in getting that third term, but it was very, very, very close. Bloomberg defeated William Thompson Jr. 51% to 46. You know, the polls leading up to the election in New York showed Bloomy with an 18-point lead, so that edge started to really, I guess, get chunked away. A lot of people were critical of the mayor, of this whole overkill in his strategy of bombarding the city with campaign ads. And I have a bunch of friends that live in New York, and they said it was all Bloomberg all the time, honestly. Look up at Times Square, it's Bloomberg again. Look down to the Bronx, it's Bloomberg. He's flying overhead right above Yankee Stadium. So his margin of victory smaller than the nearly 20-point blowout, because that's what he did in 2005, much different. So I think you can feel this change, the frustration that a lot of people are feeling across the country, and it's obvious if you look at where the voting went. All right, we devote so much bloody time on this show to healthcare, and why not? Because it affects every single one of us. It's a common denominator for every single one of us if there is healthcare reform and the system is completely changed up. So no surprise you have Senator Harry Reid declaring, oh, you know, healthcare, yeah, the bill might not be finished this year. Really? See, there's this push to slam this through. And, you know, I went off on this last night saying, with everybody I've talked and all the aides that I've talked to and the amount of payments both for the House and for the Senate, I didn't see how it would be possible, particularly when you have the idea of debating this. And everybody wants a little slice time to debate. So you add up all the people on the Hill, and that just does not work out mathematically that this thing could pass before the holidays. But this is a big blow to the White House. I'm surprised Reid actually let those words leave his lips as the majority leader and as the head Democrat. He said it could be a while before the Senate debates again in earnest on this issue on top of the domestic agenda, easy for me to say. So the drive to push this legislation through has been just gunked up for months, of course, because the Democrats are not on the same page at all. We talk about the blue dogs, and then there's others who are saying it's not stringent enough with the public option. So this fast track, this idea that there was going to be a vote and boom, by the weekend, something would be here and gone. But this 10-year, $1.2 trillion legislation to expand coverage to about 96% of eligible Americans, it's not happening. I mean, as much as Nancy Pelosi's pushing and other House leaders on their side of it are trying to make it happen, I mean, they're weighing actually final changes in their versions of the bill. Now you have Reid stepping out on the limb and saying, Senate-wise, this possibility is not good. We're not going to meet the president's and our self-imposed deadline of completing work on health care by the year's end. And again, is anyone out there listening surprised by this? You're going to say, of course not. Of course, because there's some pivotal votes on this, on healthcare legislation. And, you know, how long do you look at this representation on the Hill and you just shake your head and you wonder, wow, 2010, I don't think in some areas of the country, honestly, could come soon enough. All right, on the flip side, cash for clunkers. A little more of the fallout there with Vern Motor. Stay with us here on America Tonight.
The home building industry is changing, and going green doesn't have to cost more. Learn about natural heating and cooling strategies, healthy, eco-friendly materials, and super energy efficiency. Tune into Living Shelter Design on webtalkradio.net to get ideas from top innovators in green power, integrated design, water systems, and healthy homes. Whether for personal comfort or professional awareness, make Living Shelter Design on webtalkradio.net your new home information source.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
Do you have trouble getting through the day? Do you feel tired and worn out? Pounding expensive energy drinks? It's a proven fact many people do not get the proper daily intake of essential vitamins and nutrients. With the lifestyles we lead, eating fruits and vegetables is sometimes easier said than done. Introducing Choose 4 Health. Choose 4 Health brings you 16 powerful ingredients in one delicious chewable for around 75 cents per day. Each chewable contains a full day's worth of the necessary fruit and vegetable intake you need. Choose 4 Health also contains antioxidants and vitamin B12 to give you that extra boost to curb midday cravings for snacks, energy drinks, and coffee. Call 1-800-210-1922 right now and you will receive a 1 week supply of Choose 4 Health absolutely free. Just pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-210-1922. That's 1-800-210-1922. Or visit orderchews.com. That's order, C-H-E-W-S.com. Start your healthy lifestyle now.
We have a dungeon moment coming up a little bit later in this show. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Remember, you can always flip me an email, americatonight.net. Told you about that guy who flipped the judge something else and got 6 months. We'll give you all the sort of details on that one. Cash for Clunkers. How much of a dud was Cash for Clunkers? Now, the government is touting it as a huge success. Then you find out in a report that each car sold under the program cost taxpayers, that means you and me, okay, $24,000. Doesn't sound like a huge success to me. What has it actually done for the economy? We always love to have this guy on, CPA, financial planner, talk show host, really in the know when it comes to this stuff. Vern Motor joins us. Once again, Vern, thanks for popping on to America Tonight.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me on your show.
Hey, it's exactly what I just said. What does it really mean to us? I was stunned, I guess. I mean, you and I have talked about this before. We didn't think it was a successful program for a variety of reasons. And first of all, too, even the car dealerships getting reimbursed and all that paperwork that got gunked up, and then they had to hire more people and all that stuff, and then, of course, adding more money to it. But then you see this deal where it costs us $24,000. For people listening, I mean, what does that mean? That can't be a success, right?
Well, definitely not. It's not a success at all. And, you know, Kate, we talked about it, and we actually said it on your show, that we're going to see a blip in auto sales, and it's going to look like it was successful. We said that last time when we talked about it at the program, and that's exactly what we saw. We got a blip in sales. Everybody's saying it's all successful, but it was all propped up by taxpayer dollars, and you just cannot have success in a capitalistic industry when it's all financed by taxpayer support. It just doesn't work.
No. And it's funny because it coincided, and I was talking about this the other day. Wow. Ford, of course, releasing the third quarter figures and talking about $1 billion and how huge that was. But it's what we keep saying. You have to pull back the veil. And what does it actually mean to the economy? What does it mean to the taxpayers is the key. You know, the way Cash for Clunkers sounded, it sounded like, wow, we have this old crappy car. We're going to turn it in. Isn't this great? Everybody's going to be happy because now we're going to also be much more green because we're worried about that. And at the same time, you know, we're going to end up saving a lot of money. We're going to end up helping everybody all the way around, including the car dealerships, but that's not the case at all.
No, I mean, it's a, we said it before, it's a feel-good program. Just like you said, gosh, this sounds great. We're going to accomplish all these things. We're going to help the auto industry. We're going to be more green. And when you really, really look at the true nuts and bolts of the program, it's 100% debt financed, because government financed it with debt, our taxpayer money, and then the borrowed money that they always seem to spend more of than what we give them. And then most people finance their automobiles, too, and we're going through some really challenging economic times, and people don't need to be taking on more debt.
Boy, I so agree with that. And speaking of that, since we have you trapped in our little corner here called ATN, everybody is, it's the end of the year, so people start to reassess where they're going. They talk about their, you know, you've got the taxes coming up and what they have to pay or what they don't have to pay and all this other sort of stuff, and it becomes black and white for a lot of people. If, what would you advise? You got to get that debt down, right? But I think you and I talked about this before, and I've actually gotten questions about this from people. You see Susie Orman, for example, all over the place saying, you know, you got to have 8 months salary in the bank, but just don't put anything on a credit card. Don't do this, don't do that. But the problem is how you have to have money in reserves. You can't just completely pay off the cards and have no money, right? Because I see a lot of people doing that, Vern.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of getting rid of your debt. But the reality is, and building an emergency fund, too. I mean, I think it's great. Everybody, it would be nice if what Susie said, you know, everybody could have 8 months. But the reality is most Americans aren't there. So really what people need to worry about is building up some cash quickly. And while I say out of one side of my mouth that I want you to pay off your debt, reality is cash is king. And so sometimes you need to pay minimums on your debt if you're in that situation. You need to pay the minimums on your debt until you build some of that cash up, at least 3 months, 2 to 3 months. So pay some minimums. But the first thing is, people need to save $1,000 as fast as they can. If they don't have a $1,000 reserve set aside, do that first. And then simultaneously pay off your debt and build up your emergency fund at the same time and try to get to those levels you mentioned.
Yeah, what about, you know, in the housing situation, there were a lot of first-time home buyers that got the $8,000 tax credit. They're talking about extending that till May. And then also people who have just sold a home a few years ago, depending on their income, would also be able to get like $6,000 back as well in the tax credit. Do you think that this is a way to turn around some of the foreclosures, or is this a program do you think will work for a lot of people, or could this also be a slippery slope?
Well, you know, cash for clunkers, they were only given up to $4,500 rebate. And look what the mess that cost us. I mean, it cost us $24,000 per automobile. So if we're going to get $8,000 to buy a house, and I think that's noble. I mean, that's the American dream. But again, it sounds good, but I don't think the math works. Because if we're going to give people money to buy their homes, what's that going to do down the line? I mean, they're having to come up. They're getting a tax credit, plus they're reducing financing requirements so folks can buy these homes, again, putting very low money down, 2 to 3% sometimes. But that's what kind of got us into this mess. And so I think we could see some really harsh repercussions later if we go down that path. I just don't think that's where we should be going with our country.
Yeah, I agree that there's so many danger points where you can see that we could get into trouble, and then ultimately in a downturn in the economy, especially with the cash for clunkers, which is where we started. You have U.S. taxpayers forced to fund a program that is it really even helping the environment? There's your other question too that a lot of people have tried to answer for us on America Tonight, and that's the other problem with this. But the bottom line is it just costs too much, right?
Yeah, it does. It costs way too much. And the bottom line is the people who don't feel the pinch are the people who have made fiscally sound decisions. And everybody can do that. If you make fiscally sound decisions and get in a position where you're sound financially, you weather the recession. You don't worry about things like that. We need to get there as individual Americans. And hopefully, Kate, we can get our country back on track to get fiscally responsible.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. Vern, thanks for the time, buddy. We'll talk to you again down the line.
Great. Thanks, Kate.
All right. You can, if you want to check out more on Vern, by the way, you can go to yourpracticaladvisor.com. That'll get you to his website. He has some, actually some really great information up there on a whole bunch of different things. As what he was just talking about, his whole thing is trying to help people get out of debt and not find themselves going into that deep, dark place, unfortunately. Because, you know, you can't always control the realities around you with jobs, whether it's layoffs, company going under, or some surprise situation, you know, whatever it is. So you might start off with the best intentions, and how many people, unfortunately, have found themselves in a very tight, tight position. And that's why I think he's right with the Cash for Clunkers. It sounded good. It sounded like a great program. Ooh, take the junker, turn it in. Car dealer stimulated. Looks like this is on paper. Anyway, it sounds good. Then it was messed up in the beginning because there weren't enough people to process all the paperwork. So the dealership was out all that money waiting for the money to come back. That was the first problem. Then they solved that. Then there wasn't enough money, so they had to bump up more money for the program. And when you hear that staggering figure, that's, wow, that's just way too much to pay for that. All right, coming up next here on America Tonight, something completely different. We've been talking about Afghanistan a ton, obviously, with the deadliest month, October being that. Now what's going to happen with Hamid Karzai as the president, no runoff election, some questioning whether he can really stabilize this government militarily, etc. But the bottom line is what so many of us fear is, will Afghanistan become another Vietnam? I mean, this is a raw wound for so many when you talk about what happened in Vietnam. What did we learn from that involvement, which ultimately became a very unpopular war? So now this administration, what kind of moves will they make when it comes to Afghanistan? Of course, we don't know, because there is no clear cut strategy at this point. So we're going to talk to Jane Miller Chai, who's a scholar, historian, has great insights into this, about this turning point. You know, she's somebody who was an editor for Asia at the Japanese Reader's Digest in Tokyo. She was also a division head for the AP in New York City. And she's got, again, some great insight into where we're headed. Stay with us.
Toxins are in our foods, and chemicals are in our air. Chemicals are in our water supply. We purify our air and we purify our water, and yet we forget to purify our bodies. Funny, our bodies continue to absorb these deadly toxins and chemicals every day. Isn't it time to make a change? Maybe a life change? Get rid of toxins and chemicals. GetTheTea.com. Log on to GetTheTea.com and order your protection today. Our testimonies tell the truth. GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Cleanse from toxins and chemicals, lose some weight, and get free from unhealthy living. Order today at GetTheTea.com.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQ. UAAqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AaronAqua.com. Purify your life today.
This is Jerry Pierce, the radio detective. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? Well, you should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearm training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. Now is the time you and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes, and the Millionaire Patriot's paying his own money to help you get it. This is real. Thousands have already taken advantage of it, and you should too. Don't miss out. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course plus 30-state concealed weapons permit for pennies on the dollar. And get your free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today. That's FrontSight.com. Go to frontsight.com for your training and free gun.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
There's a couple politicians who feel like they've been kicked in the head. We'll talk about that coming up around the bend on America Tonight. Hi, everybody. Kate hanging with you here on these airwaves. We're talking about Afghanistan a ton here on this show, and we make the comparisons between Afghanistan and Vietnam. Will Afghanistan end up becoming the new Vietnam? Sadly, a very unpopular war. What's happening with this administration? We keep talking about what's the strategy, etc. Who better to have on the show than a noted historian and scholar, Jane Miller Chai? She's an expert on these events leading up to the Vietnam experience. I mentioned this before heading into this interview. She was editor for Asia at the Japanese Reader's Digest in Tokyo and also the division head for the AP in New York City. She's got a book out called The Tiger and the Hare. Jane, thanks for joining us here on ATN.
My pleasure.
Jane, a lot of people have called this show Guys Who Served in Vietnam. We've had several military folks on and just other people who were right there in the thick of it during Vietnam, and they see Afghanistan and they worry that we are headed for the same result. As you see this, because you were certainly in the middle of this Vietnam and leading up to Vietnam, does it feel like the same kind of a situation, or no, it's different?
It's very similar in many ways. For example, the corruption of the government in South Vietnam. The government was corrupt. Interestingly, the brother of President Diem was involved in the opium business, and it is alleged that President Karzai's brother Wally is involved in the opium business. But the situations are, well, first of all, of course, Vietnam did not bomb the United States. The situation is very similar in that the populations of Vietnam and Afghanistan, 80% of the people are illiterate, and the people live in villages. There is very little connection between the government in Kabul and the villages. There is also, just as in Vietnam, there was a north-south split, and that is true in Afghanistan today. So, but there's very little connection between the government in Kabul and the 40,000 villages. There are 500 clans, for example, in Afghanistan, and there is hope. I'm very optimistic that with McChrystal and with the decision-making that Obama is going to be making, that instead of Afghanistan being Obama's Vietnam, it gives us the opportunity to change, to put behind us the cloud of Vietnam. The strategy that General McChrystal and General David Petraeus have developed, these address the problems in Afghanistan. It's not going to take a short amount of time, but a long amount of time. And the coalition forces are trying to help the people. They are trying to protect the Afghan population. To one thing that does concern me, once again, is that language, you know, there are Dari and Pashto in Afghanistan, and on July 13th of this year, the Pentagon stated it was going to jumpstart language learning. Well, we've been in Afghanistan for 8 years, so it's a little bit late, but it's better late than never. Mm-hmm. And we are also trying to help train the Afghan security forces and to permit to build economic opportunities. For example, roads are very, very important, and this permits people to get their produce to market. And also, there is something that a lot of people do not recognize or mention, and that's called the Loya Jirga. And there are elders in all of these clans, in all of these villages. And in the past, 200 years ago, the Loya Jirga created kings. And so if our government, through its new its strategy, its counterinsurgency strategy, is able to tap into these elders, there can be more representative government. And this is what the people of Afghanistan want, and they want us to stay to help them.
So in wanting us to stay and to help them, then it is about, as you mentioned, the language. That's very important, better late than never, because we've already had the 8 years and haven't had that. So it is about the dialogue. And do you believe that the dialogue can make the big difference, right, on the ideology of jihad?
Yes, I believe so, because the Army, for example, and the Marines are seeking to have forces embedded in the villages. This makes a great deal of difference. But, you know, it's just very disappointing to me. But we have a government, we have forces that are learning. But it's just, for me, it's very disappointing that, once again, the language seems to be the last thing that people learn, and that we depend upon translators. And the translators, of course, are not respected by and are in great danger of the countries that they're in.
Yeah. I mean, this feels like this, obviously, to me, waiting for the strategy. I agree with you, by the way, on the generals. I think you have to listen to McChrystal. You have to listen to Petraeus. You put them in place there. The generals understand this situation. They understand this war, if you will. And I think a lot of what McChrystal has said is dead on right, and a lot of that is building that trust with those people. But one of the things that McChrystal talks about is you have to have the American people on board with this. And Jane, as you know, just like Vietnam, it's starting to go in the direction where you have a lot of people that are like, forget it. I mean, are we even in a war? Why are we here? How long is this going to continue? I mean, I feel that frustration where I think another 10 years, that's 18 years. We don't want to come out of this situation and not have a win, if you will, or a change of a government and an attitude and the Afghanistan people living differently. So it feels like a real turning point right now, today, to me, in these next couple months. Do you think that?
Yes, I do. And I'm pleased that with what President Obama said to Karzai, he's reported to a really, and also the coalition forces, the the Germans, the French, the British have all said that if corruption is not addressed all across the board, this is one of the great problems of Afghanistan today, is that every aspect of life for a typical Afghan is involving corruption. Essential services, so you can't get water, electricity, roads, permits, jobs, medical services. All of the police, the lawyers, the judges are on the take. And so this is something that, with a great deal of pressure by our government and coalition forces, governments, that perhaps slowly this can change, but it has to change because in Afghanistan, corruption is institutionalized.
Yeah, but what, and what do you do when you talk about that corruption? A lot of it has to do with the opium and the fields, the poppy fields. What do you do in that situation when you're talking about a major cash cow for the Taliban? And it's, you know this as well, certainly with your background, it's about that follow the money for so many of the people. As you said, they're illiterate. That's what they have in common with the Vietnamese. So this is a pretty tough nut to crack, don't you think?
Say that last again, ask that question again.
You've got the situation where you have the poppy fields and the Taliban, the money that fuels the Taliban from a lot of the profits of the drugs, and you have people who are illiterate who are easily swayed to help the Taliban. So you know, essentially you have a similar situation to Vietnam. So you have to win those people over and wean them off the idea of the poppy fields, right, for the opium.
That's right. But in Afghanistan, for your information, the opium has decreased. In the areas in which there is good irrigation and there is good transportation opportunities, the opium is decreasing. The Taliban exists sort of like a shadow government. And they are doing things, for example, that the government in Kabul has not done. For example, we can call it justice, but the people are not treated well by judges or lawyers or anything else in these villages. But the Taliban, it has been able to have these traveling kangaroo courts. And they also provide jobs for the unemployed. There are a lot of unemployed young men. But the Taliban will be rejected if there is a viable alternative in terms of protection of the people and the improvement of the quality of life. And this is what McChrystal is working towards. He made the statement, for example, at the end of the day, we don't win when we destroy the Taliban. From body counts, we will win when the people decide we win. And so I am optimistic that there will be progress, but it's not going to happen right away.
That's definitely true. All right, and you have a book out called The Tiger and the Hare. I'm sure people can pick it up on Amazon.com, right?
That's right.
All right,
it has
excellent.
To do, one little quick statement
sure.
I wish to make is just that President John F. Kennedy did not send combat troops to Vietnam. He sent special forces, special advisors.
Right.
And
that's,
so,
and you talk about that in the book?
Yes, I do.
All right, excellent. Jane, thanks. We appreciate the time.
My pleasure.
All right, Jane Miller Chai talking about Afghanistan and Vietnam. You can throw in your thoughts on the new war. Same problems, huh? 800-259-2791. That and the dungeon next.
Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to liquid zeolite. When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free liquid zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. system. Liquid Zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try Liquid Zeolite today.
If you've got mold, you've got a problem. But if you have Moldzyme, you have a solution. Everyone at one time or another will encounter mold in their homes. It's unsightly and can affect your health. Moldzyme from EcoDiscoveries is the only safe and effective solution for cleaning mold and mildew and eliminating odor. Moldzyme is safe for any surface, wood, concrete, tile, stucco, wallpaper, vinyl, or aluminum siding, painted surfaces, and more, both inside and outside your home.
I use Moldzyme in my bathroom, basement, garage, and deck. Everywhere I see mold, it's magic in a bottle.
Moldzyme is non-toxic, safe for the environment, your family, pets, and plants, contains no chlorine bleach, ammonia, or nasty smell. Plus, it's easy to order. Call toll-free 866-767-2832 or go to moldzyme.com. That's 866-767-2832 or moldzyme.com. That's moldzyme.com. Use promo code RADIO for 25% off your order from Eco Discoveries. Moldzyme, now safe, has an effective side.
An A to Z product listing, top 20 bestsellers, and 30% off monthly specials. That's just a few of the many reasons why vitamin, mineral, and herbal supplement shoppers visit RippleCreek.com every day. Listen.
I'm a customer of RippleCreek.com and find it to be one of the best companies of its kind in product, customer service, and speed of delivery, and your prices are great.
RippleCreek.com has the full range of discount vitamins, minerals, and herbal supplements in an easy-to-use A to Z listing. Find everything from amino acids to grapeseed plus to our special colloidal minerals formula with over 99 trace minerals. Yes for Women, fun intimacy enhancement cream to zinc. Not sure what your body needs? Click our handy vitamin guide at RippleCreek.com. Choose the low cost online vitamin store where the internet has shopped since 1996. RippleCreek.com. Type in radio ad, and on orders over $40 this month, get a free bottle of our Grapeseed Plus product while supplies last. Hurry to RippleCreek.com today. That's RippleCreek.com.
All right, a follow-up, a nasty divorce, and the dungeon all coming your way. But let me reiterate what we talked about at the top. Wow, election 09, not good for the Obama administration. I really think it has to do a lot with the economy, honestly, and some of the frustrations. But independence making a big difference in New Jersey and in Virginia in the governor's race. You had one in an incumbent who went down, John Corzine, who's the New Jersey governor. He was originally a lock, although there were a lot of people that didn't like Corzine, but that's a very Democratic state, and instead they went for the moderate Republican Chris Christie. In Virginia, in the governor's race there, the Democrat Cree Deeds went, as I said, went down in the Virginia governor's race, the Democrat Cree Deeds went down to the Republican Bob McDonnell. So, and he's very conservative in that area in Virginia. You were talking about it was pretty nip and tuck in both of these. It was pretty close, but I think this is a big surprise. So now you look to 2010 as to what's going to happen there. And man, a lot of people are buzzing about this. These are kind of, stains on Obama's political standing, on the coattails, because that's always so, so important, whoever it is, who's ever in office, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican. And the outcomes of both of these, with the diverse voters, I think, sends a pretty clear message to the White House, and then the influence of the president, of course, the current lawmakers. I mean, you know, he was out lobbying hard for both of these guys, and they both went down. Both of them went down just in a really tight election, but they still went down. Now, here's what's interesting. The Associated Press exit polls show that nearly a third of the voters in Virginia described themselves as independents, and nearly as many in New Jersey did. They preferred McDonnell by a 2-to-1 margin over Deeds in Virginia. and Christie over Corazon by a similar margin. So what's at stake is exactly what I said coming up 2010, and the fact that you have independents that were so split up and that ultimately they were a big swing in both of these governor's races. And then, of course, Mayor Bloomberg gets reelected by narrowly. Originally, it was thought that he had a big lead, but not when it came down to it. He does get in for that third term, but barely. I mean, by the hair on his chin. All right, here's a follow-up for you. How about that Louisiana justice who was saying he was going to stay in his job? He decided, for some pressure on him, he decided to quit. So this justice of the peace who refused to marry the interracial couple resigned. There have been weeks of calls for him to be out of office from civil rights groups and public officials, the governor. And basically the guy, his name was Keith Bardwell, quit with a one-sentence statement to Louisiana Secretary of State Jay Dardenne and said, "I do hereby resign the office of justice of the peace for the 8th Ward of the parish in Louisiana, effective November 3rd. How about that? The governor, Bobby Jindal, said it was long overdue. There was way too much pressure. I heard he was also getting nasty phone calls and all that other sort of stuff. So for so many people, they said, hey, listen, he's going to stay there. They can't do anything to him, which was true. He was battening the hatches and he wasn't going to move on. He was going to stay as justice of the peace, but it started to affect his family, I think, too much, and he decided the best thing to do was to simply step aside. All right, so check this out on the divorce columns. Boy, this takes the cake. I happened to see something on a sports section or in a sports section I was reading, but Jim Nance, you see his face everywhere. He is like the mug of CBS. Since I like to golf, and I know you all think it's so boring to watch golf, but I sometimes will lay on the couch and chill and watch some golf, right? So he does the golf thing. He does the hoop thing. You see him all over the place. Jim Nance went to school with, what's his name? I can't even think of it now. Golfer. Oh, I can't think of his name, but I'll think of it in a second. He's also gone through some really, really messy divorces. Anyway, his wife, what she is asking for, or what the court has ruled in Connecticut, they dissolved the 26-year marriage of Nance and his wife, Anne Lorraine. They've got a 15-year-old daughter. And he acknowledged that he started dating a 29-year-old before the divorce was final, but the judge ruled, hey, this marriage had deteriorated years before anyway, and they had gone to counseling and, you know, whatever, that they didn't share the same interests and the travel and all that other sort of stuff. But here's the key. Check this out. He's got to pay $72,000 in alimony monthly until he dies or his ex-wife remarries. Did you hear what I said? She gets $72,000 in alimony until he dies. Is she going to get remarried? No. Why? Who's she remarrying? And another $1,000 weekly in child support for the next 2 years, which, of course, that's not necessarily a big deal because they want what's best for the daughter. So I don't think that's the contentious point. And Nance said he wasn't going to fight any of it. She gets their home and a condominium in Westport. He gets a house in Houston. Must be nice. What a career. And a luxury condo in the Deer Valley Resort area, if you've ever been there in Park City, Utah. He has to pay the kids' college expense until she's 23. He's got to keep his ex-wife. Here's an interesting thing. He's got to keep his ex-wife listed as beneficiary of his $3 million life insurance policy while he's still paying alimony or child support and pay $70,000 so she can join any country club of her choice. Woo. She was asking for more than $1.5 million in yearly alimony and child support. So she ended up with a little bit less than she was asking for. That it basically breaks down to $916,000 in alimony. Wow. 26 years. Like I said, do you think that she's going to get divorced anytime soon? I'm going to say no. All right, time for a dungeon moment. And this is a pretty good one, too. I think you'll, I don't know necessarily like this, but think that it's one deserving certainly, of the dungeon. I told you about the guy who flipped off the judge and got 6 months. He had 6 months for flipping off the judge. First of all, what are you thinking in flipping off the flipping off the judge? The crazy, of course. Naturally, you're going to get some jail. You're going to get some jail time for doing that. Not the guy who has the gavel, who has the power. Please, I mean, yeah, give me a break on that one. All right, but here's the one that I think ultimately, I think should land somebody in prison for this. Who was the idiot who decided to put Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin as co-hosts of the 82nd annual Oscars? Does anyone think that's an odd pairing? Yeah, I'm going to say whoever came up with this idea that these two would be good to host the Oscars together, that it's a natural and perfect pairing, I'm going to say, oh, what a dud. Whoever that was at the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences who decided to team them up, no way. When they picked Hugh Jackman, that was brilliant. So I thought he was great. He did a good job. You know, they went to other people in the past, I think, that bombed. I think this is like the worst tandem possible to host this award show that blithers on forever and ever. So without further ado, can we throw them in the dungeon, please?
No windows and no doors.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to be in that room, a fly on the wall, when they decided that these two would be great together. Now, Steve Martin has hosted the Academy Awards a couple of times. He even got an Emmy nomination for the first time, I think, that he hosted it. He's been a presenter and all that other sort of stuff, obviously, you know, as well. And so maybe going back, I guess because he had experience, you know, they thought, well, that would be funny. But I don't know. The two guys hosting it, to me, just doesn't seem to work. When Billy Crystal did it, that was kind of funny. Billy Crystal, I thought, was brilliant. I don't think didn't want to do it anymore, so they stopped going to him because he did it for a while. But those two hooked up, I guess for whoever at the Academy made that bogus decision in the dungeon so they can think about it. I think it's going to be a bomb. And if it's not a bomb, I'll be surprised. Let's just say that. We'll see. We'll tape little snippets of it when it airs. How's that? So we can keep account of it. You can send me an email, day or night, americatonight.net.
Oh, my God! Well, this has to be stopped!